broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for May 12th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our 2 of 2 in the goal, always, to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. The checks and balances put in the supreme law of the land, brilliant in the solution to the problems we face today. It is about God, family, and country. It is about rejecting revolution and standing for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. All right, listen. Listen carefully to me. You know what? The Patriots sadly seem so divided on everything. Everything we do, we work on our own. We just dig in and put our head down and go to work, and we try to make a difference, and it's good. I don't mean to down those efforts. I support those efforts. The problem is the liberals have worked out something where they all work together on something. They just do. The people that have money put money in. The people that don't have money go to work, and they just collaborate and work on it, and they just move the ball down the field. So relentlessly, it's shocking to me. And you would think the conservatives could do that, but they don't. The conservatives are so divided, it's not even funny. I don't understand why, except for I guess we're an independent lot might be the only explanation. But you know what? I am learning more and more about different groups and trying to partner with them, trying to understand, and I may not agree with them all the time. The problem is, though, you know what? When people have fundamental fatal flaws, it's hard to want to work with them, right? When it's just like, are you kidding me right now? If I work on them on this other area, might people believe that I, you know, agree with them on the fundamental flaw or that, you know, the fatal flaw? How do I? And so we back off and we don't work with people, but we need to do that more. And I know this has been going on since 2006, and I guess it's every year. But I really want to highlight it and talk about it with Dr. Scott Bradley today. The website that I'm talking about and the event that I'm talking about is called PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org. And it's interesting. They've been having their event for a long time, since 2006, as I mentioned. And, you know, the Christian world and the, quote, patriot world seems to be that there's, I don't know if you want to call it the commercial world versus Christian, whatever, but for a long time, they just haven't really worked together either. If you're in one camp, you don't really hear about what the other camp is doing. But they say that this is a national gathering of spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives. That's SageCons. They say it was often or awesome. It's been going on for a long time. They've got sponsors. They've got all kinds of stuff. It's a big event. It's going on this year, September 15th through the 17th, 2023. September 15th to the 17th, 2023. And so what I thought we would do today is have Dr. Bradley and I look at this website and talk about it. I want to talk about the issues that we never work together. I want to talk about this versus, say, Freedom Fest. That's Skousen's organization. It's going to be happening in Memphis in July. You know, these people have these big conventions. Are they worth going to? You know what? Are they worth speaking at? Or are they worth attending? Are they worth broadcasting live from? You know, for me to go to one of these events, it's probably going to cost me $3,000-$4,000, $5,000, maybe $6,000-$7,000, depending on how much the hotels are, depending on what flight prices are, depending on how much it is for an entrance fee or a sponsorship if I need to get a booth or a table. Or do I just go and not broadcast live and walk around? Or do I say it's a waste of time and not attend at all? So, Dr. Bradley, welcome to the broadcast, first of all, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It is an interesting kind of thing. As we went through the break at the top of the hour, I took a little look. I had not heard of these people. Time they're having it here in September is the 236th anniversary of the signing of the U.S. Constitution, which I think they ought to maybe kind of pick up on that and focus on it. They've got, according to the look I've got on this website, they've got 28 speakers that have been invited. Seven at this point have agreed to be there. And it's understandable. We're still months away from that, and there are probably people that are evaluating their schedule, and maybe some people would have a hard time committing that far in advance. I know, for example, for me, historically, the 17th of September, the anniversary of the signing of the Constitution, I absolutely would not be able to attend because I'm not participating in a lot of these things right now for a lot of reasons. But the point of the matter is I was absolutely committed to be at other speaking events during that time. So it's not surprising. Maybe I haven't seen them or anything like that. They had about 50 speakers, it looks like, last year. Some of them, in my mind, are very questionable in terms of their devotion to saving the nation. But, as you point out, maybe there's some things we can work with them on, some good things that might bring that about. But as you point out, some of them do have fatal flaws in terms of, it worries me gravely that some of them are committed to things that I know will destroy the nation ultimately. So that's just a very superficial evaluation in the time over the break at the top of the hour. But they currently have, like I say, 28 speakers that have been invited. Seven have confirmed. Ben Carson is front and center at the top. And just to the side of him is Kurt Cameron, who basically, he's a Christian filmmaker and media guy. And he puts out some good stuff. He really does. So there's really good people that are involved in this thing. And to me, it's going to be interesting how it kind of shakes out. But I have never been to this event. And again, it's probably because I've had other good things to go to. There's plenty of really good things to be done. And we sometimes have to pick and choose a little bit. But I do believe we do need to pray, vote, and stand together on the things of principle. And I will absolutely encourage that to happen. So, I don't know. Have you done a lot of research? Are you thinking about going? What's your take on this? I am thinking about going.
I have not done a lot of research at the hotel that they're talking about having this venue at. It's $240 a night for single or double occupancy. It's at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. And so, that's why I say it depends on how much hotel is. If I go now, let's say that I got to stay, four or five nights because you got to get there in advance, and it's a three-day event if you go to all 3 days. That's 240 times four or five nights already. That's $1,500. What's 240 times five? And I don't know if that includes the taxes either, right?
Oh, it won't. No, that's
probably
sure
300 times five, $1,500 for the hotel if you're going to go. Your flights are going to probably be right around $1,000 if you take one or two people, depending on. Two people, $1,000 probably. That's $2,500 right there, and I haven't begun to eat. I don't have a vehicle or any way to get anywhere. I also haven't paid for a sponsorship or a table if I'm going to broadcast live. Just see how the prices add up quickly. For a five-day stint, I'm going to at least need $500 for food probably for two people or more maybe. You're already at $3,000, and you don't have a vehicle to travel anywhere. You haven't paid for any entrance fees of any kind if you want to broadcast or get a booth or be a sponsor or any of those kind of things. So I just find it fascinating. And the reason that I bring this all up, though, is because I look at these events and I want to support the conventions. There's the Freedom Fest. There's the Red Pill Expo. Red Pill Expo is from our buddy G. Edward Griffin. The Freedom Fest is from Mark Skousen, a well-known financial expert, etc. This group is by the American Family Association and the Family Research Council. They do a lot of good. They do a lot of radio outreach, a lot of Christian stuff. All these groups, in my opinion, seem to be partnering with people that I wouldn't really want to partner with in many ways. And I'll give you an example. I think Ben Carson's a very nice guy. But how constitutionally centered he is, I don't really know. I mean, he is more than most, probably. He's a good guy, a good Christian guy. He's well-known, physician, very intelligent. I mean, he was a surgeon for crying out loud. But fundamentally, how grounded he is in the supreme law of our land, I don't know. He's an interesting speaker. He's a success story for sure. Grew up in the hood. Mom insisted that he learn to read well and read books, etc. That's what got him kind of on the right track. He tells the story of, you know, he was in a black community as a black man, and he had rage and he wanted to just destroy someone. And then all of a sudden his heart went back to God and said, you know what, I can't be like this. And he says it changed his life. I don't mean to minimize his story by summarizing it so simply, but I do want to highlight, you know, the guy's got a lot of brownie points for him. But yet, you know, how constitutional does someone need to be for us to work with them? These organizations, you know, are they just wasting time and letting us hear from speakers? I see a bunch of congressmen, senators, and politicians and this kind of stuff. You know, how often and how much do we want to just sit down and listen to the politicians? You know, Steve Scalise or any of these other people. How often do we want to just sit down and listen to these kind of people? But it relates to the Value Voters Summit stuff. I believe in value voters. But again, a lot of times these Christians go for candidates that I wouldn't go for. At the same time, is it worth rubbing shoulders with them? This idea about pray, vote, stand, I think is critical. I mean, I think if we learn to pray successfully, we vote properly, and we stand up and support them, I mean, that is the key to the exercise. When we come back, we're going to talk about it more with Dr. Bradley. I wonder if it's worth going. I wonder how much it would be to be a sponsor. There's a bunch of sponsorships there. Let's talk about it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're talking about the website. PrayVoteStand.org. They're having an event in Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen. It's called SageCon, on behalf of faith, family, and freedom. And I like that. I agree with that, folks. PrayVoteStand.org. It's going to be September 15th through the 17th, 2023, at the Omni Shoreham Hotel, Washington, D.C. Now, it's going to cost literally $240 a night at the hotel. And you got to probably, you know, it's a 3-day event. You're going to probably have to stay 4 or 5 days based on the, you know, when you can fly in and out and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you're talking literally $1,500 just for your hotel, flights on top of that, et cetera. and we're evaluating this thing. And is it worth going to is the first question. You know, you want to work with them. You want to rub shoulders with these people. You want to make a difference. You want to make connections and make friends, and you want to be part of the solution. But is this just throwing money down a rabbit hole? Or is this really going to make a difference, right? Because I don't want to just, you know what? I don't want to just meet, eat, and retreat in defeat plan. I don't want that. But yet at the same time, I don't want to just blow everybody off and not work with anybody. I got to reach out and make friends and learn how to win friends and influence people and spend time together. And, you know, so what do you say, doctor?
Well, I think historically I've been amazed at how many friends you do make when you go to these kind of things. I mean, you personally, as well as others of us that be at these things, it's a good opportunity, as you point out, to be able to shake hands with and exchange ideas with. A couple of things come to mind. First of all, it's tragedy to me that you've got to go through and nickel and dime yourself to death like that. I mean, ask for help. I mean, you've got a group of people out there that, you know, if everybody sent $10, it might be a really cool thing. I'm not suggesting that, and I know you're not in it for crass purposes. But the fact of the matter is, first time I ran for the United States Senate, I went down and registered in the Lieutenant Governor's office in Utah to pay my registration fee. It was $1,500. That's a big gulp, you know, for somebody to say, you know, I'm taking this out of my own pocket to go put myself out there. And I was kind of, you know, commenting about the pretty steep entry fee on the thing. And the person behind the counter in the Lieutenant Governor's office said, well, Orrin Hatch was just in. You know, he was a sitting senator. And he was beefing because it's too cheap. He says he thought it ought to be $15,000. Well, that's because, I mean, he's bought and paid for. I mean, he had a $6 million at the time, a war chest to run for that office that year. And here's a guy like me that's, you know, in it for the labor of love and wanted to be there to you know, kind of expand on principles and try and reintroduce them to people. And the guy that really had the money's beefing because it ought to be at least 10 times more so that riffraff like me couldn't be in it. So we have a lot of these things where people that have a great love of this oftentimes are very underfunded. That's one example. Another example I'll use, too, I was asked one time to speak at what appeared to be a pretty large event. I was going to be the only speaker, and they wanted me to speak on Sunday. And I says, normally I don't do political events on Sunday. You know, I'd you know, kind of put it on hold and focus on, you know, reviewing the things of eternity. And these are things of eternity, by the way. And they said, no, we understand that. We want you to come and speak on religious liberty in America and how foundational that is. And I said, well, okay, I can come speak for that. They had a large center that I was going to be going to, and they felt like they could fill the seats up and everything like that. And so I got there early and was kind of, you know, meeting the people that were organized and everything. Suddenly, it became a political event. Out of the woodwork, all sorts of buses and people setting up booths. I mean, major candidates across the board were showing up with their entourage of people. And they were setting up, and because of their prominence and preeminence, they intended and expected to be able to speak. And I says, Bravo Sierra, this has turned into a political event for a campaign speech kind of guy, and I'm not here for anything like that. And my wife says, let's go. We don't need to hang around from that. They got plenty of speakers. They'll fill their day. I mean, the people that organized it begged me to stay. They had asked me originally to speak for an hour. They ended up cutting it ultimately to, I think, 10 or 12 minutes because they had all these other people, and they had to give them. I mean, it was only courtesy and blah, blah, blah. It was a political hack job is what it was. And it makes me so irritated sometimes that these large events oftentimes become a political candidacy event where people get up and they rah-rah their own glory and everything like that. And to me, I feel like I've been pimped. I mean, to use a kind of a crude term, when I go to some of these things. And I would look into it very carefully if I were you. I look at all the political people that are there, and you say, well, we want the political people, but sometimes all they do is come in and they glad hand everybody and tell them how great they are and what they're standing for and how good they are, vote for me, rah-rah, and they walk out again. And that is an irritation to me.
And on one hand, that's sad. On the other hand, what they would say is, unless we bring in well-known speakers that relate to the value voters issue, that relate to the, you know, pray, vote, stand idea, you know, it's hard to make it not political. So, for example, if you look at their schedule, they got a Friday, Saturday, it's a Thursday night, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. Sunday, it kicks off with a worship service, which I think is great. But then they proceed to have all their booths and all that kind of stuff and the hall open per normal on Sunday, which I'm not really a fan of necessarily. But at the same time, you know, you kind of go, well, if it's God, family, and country, you know, it's hard to not want to attend SageCon. I mean, after all, faith, family, and freedom are there. You know, faith's first, family, freedom. I mean, it's God, family, country, really. Okay. And so you kind of go, man, do I want to attend this thing? Do I want to help out? So I'm looking at it and kind of gauging the costs. If I just walk around, I could do that. I could bring my little tape recorder in my pocket and do interviews on the fly, get those interviews, then play them back over some subsequent shows. Or I could go there and try to get a booth and broadcast live and promote, you know, Liberty Roundtable and some of the things that we do and everything else. And I just wonder. So we looked at the packages to be a sponsor. And there's sponsorships, and they're big, big money. Then there's exhibitors, and the exhibitors range anywhere from $250 to $20,000, depending on what you want to do. So we looked at the most inexpensive one that we could find. The $250 one gets you two passes, and then would have to find out what it gets you. You can customize and buy things a la carte is the point. But their cheapest package is $1,500 that we see that's already kind of built for you besides the custom package. And for $1,500, you get a 10x10 booth. You get a little, you know, ad in their newspaper or whatever else. What do you else get? Four passes?
Yeah, you get listed as an exhibitor, and you know, people, you know, you get some exposure. And
anything else in that package?
Well, at the early bird, I'm looking at they've got two different levels. Stand together packages. The regular price is $1,500. You get a 10x10 booth in the hall. You get four passes to come to the meetings. A full-page ad in their lookbook, a program listing your organization as an exhibitor in the lookbook program, and listing your organization as official PVSS website. So that's basically what you get for $1,500.
Right, so you get four passes, a booth, and a little bit of advertising that they put in together. And that doesn't sound like too bad of a deal when you think about it. If it's $250 a pass. You know, it's $1,000 and $500 for your booth, or you could say the booth is $1,000 and your tickets are cheaper. I mean, I don't care how you look at it, but think about it. If I were to go, it's $1,500 for a hotel, $1,500 for my entry fee. I can take four people with me, and you know, it's going to be at least $500 per person to fly, I'm sure, round trip. So that's $2,000. Now you got $1,500 and two, you're at $5,000. Now you got to take care of your food. You got to take care of transfer to and from the airports, meaning, you know, at home, you got to get to the airport. And then while you're there, you got to get to your hotel, et cetera else. I'm thinking the thing's going to probably cost me $6,000, $7,000 for four of us to attend.
Well, like I
sounds
say,
sounds expensive,
I mean,
Sam, but is it worth going?
Well, that's the thing. And I oftentimes get invited to things, and some people will actually say, I'll give you a booth if you'll do blah, 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 or whatever. And then you start putting a pencil to the whole thing, your transportation costs and everything like that. And they say, well, you can sell your book or whatever, you know. And I say, you know, the margin on my book is I'd have to sell thousands of cases of it to have this thing break even to me once you start adding all the prices into it. And really, everything I've done, everything ever on this has been a labor of love. I've never made a nickel on any of these kinds of things. It's been, I really believe the gospel of liberty is just like, it's part of, I can't say just like, but it's very much a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't.
That's why we say
the
Constitution should be the political religion of our nation, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I kind of say, look, I had a journalist from, believe it or not, the Southern Poverty Law Center quiz me down and say, how much money do you make from all these radio programs you produce? And I told him I didn't make anything. I want to come back and talk about that a little more. Talk about it if this is worth attending. And you know what? Maybe we could raise the money to attend. I don't know. Quick pause. Liberty. Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Title 42 has officially expired.
The COVID-era policy was lifted just before midnight last night. It had allowed for migrants who had recently been in a country where a communicable disease was present to be quickly turned back at the U.S. southern border. While U.S. border communities will be getting the initial surge, officials in cities thousands of miles away say that they're also expecting to be overwhelmed as migrants are flown or bused to their cities. The government will now return to a decades-old section of the U.S. code that carries more severe consequences for migrants found to be entering the country without a legal basis, known as Title 8. I'm Skip Kelly.
Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, last night called out the president for what's happening at the United States-Mexico border. Cruz on the shoreline in Brownsville, Texas.
Come down here, President Biden. Stop hiding in the basement. Stop pretending this misery is not your fault. Stop it. This is not humane. This is not compassionate. This is cruel.
A Federal Reserve official said the central bank should be prepared to continue raising interest rates because inflation remains too high and the labor market too tight. Fed Governor Michelle Bowman today at a banking conference in Germany said she was not confident the central bank was making enough progress slowing down economic activity to curb inflation. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is confirming that former Marine 24-year-old Daniel Perry will be charged with manslaughter in the second degree today for the chokehold that killed Jordan Neely on a New York City subway May 1st. The City Council's Black, Latino, and Asian caucuses have been calling for justice in the case. Penny, flanked by his attorneys, turned himself in this morning. An arraignment is expected this afternoon. The U.S. Army training facility in Georgia, known for a century as Fort Benning, is now Fort Moore. The base was renamed in a ceremony yesterday, dropping the name of the Confederate general. USA News.
Finding great people to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Their powerful matching technology delivers so many qualified candidates, it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. For less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Live and on your radio, Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman. Pray, vote, stand. I love the concept. Is there a convention worth attending in Washington, D.C.? September 15th through the 17th. The 17th is Constitution Day on the Sabbath. They're going to kick it off with a worship service on Sunday. I like that. But again, it's just going to be kind of a regular day with booths and everything else. 3-day event, really a 4-day almost, because you got to get there Thursday and then they have some events Thursday, then all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then you come home on Monday. You got to have 5 nights in a hotel. You know, you got to have $1,500 just for a hotel for probably 2 people if you share a room. But if you got 4 passes, you got to have $1,500 times 2 if people, you know, unless you need more rooms, but 2 people in each room, that's $3,000 in hotels alone. Then you got to have $1,500 for your sponsorship. I'm going to call them, but I looked up to try to find a number, can't do it. So I'm going to have to email them and say, hey, you know what? I'm a media guy. Are you going to offer me kind of a deal to come and broadcast live and promote the event live from the floor and promote it in advance? Can I work out some kind of a deal with you? What are the options? Can somebody call me? I'm going to work on that. But the question becomes, is it worth going, Dr. Bradley? And I don't really know how to evaluate that. And sometimes when I get done at the end, I can say it absolutely worth it. Sometimes I say, I'm not sure.
I've been to a lot of events, and I've generally found them to not be worth it. But this one needs to be evaluated. I don't want to discount. You need to do some investigating. But a couple of things, as I said earlier, you're kind of going through on the air the kind of nickel and diming that we have to do to go out and put the word out. And people need to understand, nobody, I mean, maybe that's too broad a statement, but it almost seems like nobody that has a true love in this has a lot of money. It seems like an inverse relationship. I mean, there's people that make $50 million a year, and you wonder what their motivation is, you know. And then there's people that spend every nickel they've got to try and promote the principles. And it is a labor of love. It's like a gospel calling, you know. If we don't have our religious liberty, we don't have liberty. And they're inextricably interwoven. So I feel bad, Sam, that you have to kind of go through the math on this thing. So, I mean, there's other people. I'll give you an example, and I won't say the name because I would offend a lot of people probably about who the guy was. I was putting on an event, and I tried to get him to come and speak. I had a secretary on the hook, if you will. She was absolutely excited about what we were doing and everything like that, and said, "You bet this guy will do it," everything like that. Let's put it together. And I said, "Great, let's do it." Come to find out, it was going to cost me $50,000 to bring him in. And the question has to be, or maybe the observation would be, he's a better businessman than patriot, you know. And a lot of people feel like he's a patriot. And it's just like you say, wow, 50 grand to bring a guy in to speak for 2 hours in an event before 10,000 people. I mean, that's what I'd put together. It's actually 10,200 is what the facility would hold. And so it was like, I can't do it. Because I was offering the event for free to everyone that wanted to be exposed to the spirit of liberty, you know. And I could tell you lots of stories of stuff we've done for free that burned in the hearts of the people when they walked out. But to bring a guy in to speak that was going to cost me $50,000, I just couldn't do it. And so, you know, it makes me feel bad. I mean, I feel badly. I don't know. Is it an adverb? I mean, what is it? Anyway, at any rate, evaluate it, I would say, and then ask for, you know, what kind of, you know, concessions they'd make to have somebody from the media there and to, you know, maybe do ads on the air and everything. But honestly, I have been to so many of these events that were basically Republican conventions. They bring in all these people with an R behind their name, and you look at their voting record and what they don't stand for. I mean, think about it, Sam. If Kevin McCarthy was one of the people on this list, he's the Speaker of the House. I mean, he'll bring in a gob of people and everything like that. And I say, well, yeah, but are we going to be fed correct principles, or are we going to be fed a bunch of political blather, you know? And that's what I find so often happens. They become basically a campaign opportunity for somebody to say, I appeared at this, and I had all sorts of applause, all the accolades, hugs and kisses, and it's the antithesis. It's very similar to a Super Bowl field goal kick, you know? Everybody comes in and praises them. And are they really, really on board with saving the nation? I sound cynical, I sound jaded maybe, but there's a lot that goes into these kinds of things, and I feel like, again, I'll use the word I used earlier, that a lot of times we're getting pimped. And I feel badly about that, because this is a sacred, sacred concept that we're trying to promote. So
it is, and that's why I wonder if it's worth going to, and I kind of wonder, you know, at how much expense, and then how do I raise the money for that? You know, I really get, there's a few sponsors that help me, and there's a few people who behind the scenes help me and don't want any promotion or sponsorship. They're it's a labor of love for them as well. They put in money. But for the most part, 80%+ of the radio network that we run, the Liberty Roundtable live show we do, most of it I fund out of my own pocket. And people would say, well, Sam, you're insane. Why don't you get some sponsors? Well, the problem is, if you get the right kind of sponsors that will actually fund you, then you've got to, one, tailor what you say to make them happy. or they will drop you like a rock. They'll control you or drop you like a rock. And I've
would you take Pfizer?
This.
With Pfizer, no. If Pfizer sponsor, what would you say? You'd tell them?
I would say no. Yeah, okay, and I'll give you an example. I have, over the years, when I owned an AM-FM radio station, too, you know, we ran sports and everything else, and Budweiser and Coors and some of these other people wanted to advertise, and I refused the alcohol companies as well. I will not do alcohol or cigarette or vaping or Pfizer or drug companies. Then the gay and lesbians tried to do some sponsorships. I wouldn't let them do that. Planned Parenthood offered me a chunk of money. I wouldn't do that. You see, that's the problem, is that, you know, these people control you, or they have things that are so objectionable that you won't take the money. But then the question is, you end up, you know, you don't have any money. and you fund it out of your own pocket. So I work all day at an IT day job and fund most of what I do myself. I'm fine doing that. I'm not trying to get rich on it. But the question becomes, you know, when I go to an event like this, I got to not do my day job either. So I got to take time off work to go. Then I got to fund this whole effort to go. Now, if we took four people, because we got that $1,500 deal, ran a booth, had four people go. Let's say you had two hotel rooms, two people in each hotel room. Buddies get two queen beds or whatever, or a couple, you know, you could whatever. You're going to have $500 for flight for all four of them, probably $2,000. You're going to have the probably 3,000 in hotels. That's $5,000. You're going to have the $1,500 for the thing. You know, now you're at 6,500. You're going to have to go ahead and have food and everything else, food and travel and Uber and whatever it's going to take to get everywhere. You know, you're probably looking at $7,500, $8,000 to attend and broadcast live from that event. Now, remember, people need to understand. You say, well, Sam, I can watch for flights for $300, not $500. Come on, Sam, you're spending money recklessly. No, I don't think so, because you got to bring radio gear. So now you're going to have to check a bag. And if you want a backdrop for your booth, you got to bring that. And that's a long, strange-looking case, which means it's probably not the cheapest bill. You know, now you got to pay to bring this luggage. And, you know, you add all that up, folks. And you go, wow, it's probably going to cost us anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000, literally, to attend this thing. And I, you know, on one hand, I think, well, if you're going to promote the talk show and make it grow, you got to invest in something, don't you, Sam? And if you, and it just goes on and on and on, doctor. But on the other hand, if you don't go anywhere or do anything, how do you expect it to grow? And so anyway, I just find it a very interesting discussion. And when we, you know, focus on my website, callforcivility.com, and promote a clarion call for civility, you got to be the one to reach out, don't you? So, anyway, there you have it.
Yeah, I think you got to do a little bit of homework. And, you talk about opportunity lost and economic status, you know, and all that kind of stuff. The idea of if you expend a resource on a given thing, you've set aside other things you could have spent that resource on. And you say, well, you know, I've spent money, $10,000, let's say, to go to this thing. And could I have spent that $10,000 somewhere else? Or could I have used it to, you know, pay my salary and my expenses based upon my day job? I mean, you do opportunity loss kind of analysis on things, too. And you say, is that $10,000 better spent somewhere else? Or not at all, where I just make enough to live that week, you know? So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
There's a lot, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the bigwigs, too. Some of the, you know, talk show hosts, they're like, hey, if I don't speak, I don't go. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Or if I want $50,000 to be there.
Let's talk about that coming up in seconds on your radio.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalist was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to email these guys. I say to them, so far, I've got this draft I'm writing right now while we're on the air. Hi, all. My name is Sam Bushman, host of the Liberty Roundtable Live nationally syndicated radio talk show. I'm interested in attending and possibly broadcasting live from your event on September 15th / 17th, 2023. We see you have custom packages available. The Stand Together package is $1,500 or $1,275 for the early bird special. This package may meet our needs just fine. We don't really need meals or the ability to attend the speakers because we would be broadcasting live and running our booth. During the conference, right? Then I got to just say, hey, you know what? What kind of a deal can you make me where I might be able to attend this thing? You know what? Do you have options for media people? If I promote you ahead of time, can we trade radio advertising? What are the two other packages?
Well, there's other packages at higher value. I mean,
give me the two that were above that one. There's one for $3,500, one for $65.
Yeah, that's, you know, then you get some VIP dinners and some more tickets. And
yeah,
stuff
but what
like
are those
that.
Two packages called?
Just a second. I've got to get back into them. I keep bumping out of it because I keep thinking we're done. Here we go.
Sorry.
No. I'm good. There's a firm foundation package for $6,500, I think. Here, let's see.
Or what was the one below that?
Faith and Freedom package. Yeah, that one's $3,500. But you get some more passes to the conference, and you get some VIP tickets to a reception and a gala dinner or two.
All right, so then I say we don't really need meals or the ability to attend the speakers because we're going to be running our booth during the conference. The two other packages are the Firm Foundation or the Faith and Freedom may also be of interest.
Yeah. But see, I'm sure with any of these, you can go into the meetings and hear the speakers. But when you do that, you kind of abandon your booth or you leave it staffed with somebody else there, you know. I don't know.
So,
I mean, all of these things.
Anyway, the reason I say that, though, is they may agree to give a bigger booth, which would be really nice if we could do it because we'd get more attention. And have part of the problem when they do one single booth oftentimes is you get like an 8-foot table and that's all you've got. By the time you set up a radio broadcast, then you don't have any room on your table to talk to people or to put any books out or to put any, you know. So, again, I'm not just looking for spending money, but I'm kind of trying to say in a perfect world, they give me a bigger booth in exchange for jettisoning the meals because I can go eat wherever I want to, probably cheaper anyway. But the two other packages that may be of interest are the Firm Foundation or the Faith and Freedom options.
Yeah, the Firm Foundation, you get a 10 by 20 exhibit space.
Yeah.
So that's bigger, and that's $5,500.
So that's 55 or 60?
Five. 5550.
So 5,500. So, you know, and so my deal is, hey, I want to see if I can create a custom package that can meet that. In a perfect world, I'd take the firm foundation and get the bigger booth, because then you could set up a table and talk to people. And I'd get more passes. But they would only need to be, you know, hall media passes, because I don't need all the meals and the speakers. And if I could bring enough people, then we could all man the booth and a few of us could attend, you know, different things on occasion that we want or whatever. And we could actually run the booth. You know, if you're going to run that thing for 3 days, you're just worn out if you've only got two or four people running it. To do it right, you got to have, you know, 10 people take turns at the booth and actually let people run around and enjoy the conference. How do I go look at all the other booths and meet people and do interviews if I got to stay at my booth all the whole time? So this is what I mean. It's a huge rollout to consider those things. And I only spend so much time on this, doctor, to discuss if it's worth it on the air, but then also to help the American people understand what it really takes to make these things happen. I think when you hear big organizations and, you know, groups that are attending these things or whatever, you don't even really realize what kind of dollars and cents and commitment and logistics that and costs that it really takes to make these things happen. So I try to share that stuff with the audience because I think it's helpful for them.
You know, it's interesting. Many years ago, I was involved in some large, there were technology conferences that happened. In fact, for some years, one of the ones I was involved in was the largest in the world. And an association, one of the organizations I was very closely associated with, they literally had a $1 million booth that they would bring in. It was two stories. And they had conference rooms, they had presentation rooms, they had closing rooms, they had all sorts of things in that. And for them, it was just a cost of doing business. And the booth alone, I mean, they'd pack it up, take it, it was modular, and they'd spend $1 million on the booth. And so, I mean, they had a big footprint at the events. Other people, it was kind of a shoestring kind of thing, and it took everything that they had. For some of these smaller, you know, organizations that were trying to get a presence there. And that's kind of where you are with this thing. These large organizations, I mean, I'd be confident there'll be large political action committees that'll be there. There'll probably be parties that are involved, or at least some associated parties with things. There might even be some booths where some of the senators or congressmen have a presence to kind of hobnob and, you know, campaign and stuff. But a guy like you, a regular guy that's trying to do good things, it's a stretch to do these kind of things. It really is. You still writing,
yeah.
Sam?
So now I say this. We would be most interested in a custom package that would let us bring several support staff to run the booth, and a large enough booth to broadcast live and talk to attendees at the same time. However, cost is a difficult factor for us. Might we promote you guys on air via interviews in advance, as well as broadcast live from the event? And then maybe we can work out something that could facilitate this as an option or whatever. Anyway, I got to finish it all up. But that's what I'm going to basically say to them. I'm going to see what they come back with.
Well, I think you need to put something like this together for multiple, you know, applications. I mean, this isn't the only thing you're going to. Put it away as a kind of a baseline. You know, you're going to do this for
sure.
The red pill maybe or something like that. And, it's a good discussion to have and to help people recognize – you know, this can be applied to multiple different events that you might end up wanting to attend and participate in.
Yeah, and I've done it over the years, and sometimes we've raised money. Oftentimes what I do is I go to some of my sponsors and I say, hey, will you help us go? And, you know, we'll promote you at this event or whatever, and we'll do this and that. And, you know, a lot of times I've been able to raise the money and attend some of these things. But, man, it's just getting prohibitive. If you want to travel very often, very many places, it just costs a bundle to get done. My gosh, think about if we went to an event like this once a month, you'd need literally $7,000 a month just for that alone. $100,000 a year just for that alone.
What you'd really need is a staff that did an event staff. I mean, a group that put it together, ran the logistics of it, went and put up their I mean, you'd have multiple packages of radio equipment, you know, with soundboards and all that kind of stuff. I mean, people that do this and kind of run around to these different things, they really are staffed up for it. And for you to do this out of your back pocket, Sam, and take this out of your hide, if you will, where you have to put your regular day job on hold in order to go. I mean, people don't realize. I mean, this is stuff that all the behind-the-scenes things that they look like they're all a well-oiled machine. Yeah, there's usually a lot of money involved in it. And this isn't something that people that are in this for the right reasons often don't have that money. It's just amazing. Anyway, maybe some big sponsors will come out of the woodwork for you now. Somebody will say, hey, you know what? I liked what you were saying. I like your motivation. How can I help? You know, I mean, holy cow. You know, you might just find some people that are really properly motivated, you know.
Yes. Anyway, I don't know, but I'm pretty interested in attending things like this because I believe that the reach out is really vital. You know, how can you really, you know, you can produce a lot of interviews, a lot of content for the radio. You can reach out and make friends with people that, you know what, you don't get to interview these people often. But when you're there and you've got this organization helping promote, you know, hey, we've got these list of speakers or these list of, you know, heavy hitters that are here that, you know, are interested in the media reach out and everything else, then you start getting opportunities. Once they've been on your program before, it's easier to get them back. It's easier to use those guests that we've had these people on. Can you come on too? You know, it changes the game in meaningful ways.
Well, you know, more than a dozen years ago when I did a little, you know, radio program, and you're fully involved and well aware of all of that, but I had a stable of people that I constantly went to. I mean, subject matter experts. I mean, whether it was upper atmospheric experts for climate stuff or there was something having to do with, you know, some other scientific issue or maybe there was a tax issue or a medical issue or you know, some kind of a business issue. I mean, I had a stable of go-to people. You know, you didn't need them on every week or maybe even every month, but every couple of months you'd bring them on for a segment. And if you can make those kind of contacts and bring people in that say, hey, I know Sam. Yeah, I'll do another interview with Sam. Sam could say, hey, can you come on the third Thursday of whatever month and talk to me for a minute about this or that or the other. And I think it spices up the program. And so it gives people an opportunity to hear some people that are out there trying to do something in this arena. And I've thoroughly enjoyed visiting with these people. They're intelligent, articulate. In fact, you talk about G. Edward Griffin. He was one of the ones that was in, if you will, the stable of people I went to on occasion. A very intelligent, articulate, well-spoken, knowledgeable, I mean, all sorts of things I could say about him. There was another guy I had. He had been an undercover communist for the FBI with their organizational processes through the 60s. And he still was, you know, kind of undercover in the sense that he wouldn't let me put up a picture of him or anything like that when I was doing something. Just really interesting characters that you meet sometimes at these events. And they're cool to bring on with you again. And some of us don't happen to be very good looking, so the radio really works good for us. You know?
Yes.
I think might we work together again, Sam.
Might we work together and create a custom package? And then I say this, hoping we can set up something that works for all of us. We look forward to working with you. Thank you, Sam Bushman. And I give my phone number. I'm thinking about kind of starting with that and seeing if we can't put something together and go. And then I'm thinking about seeing if the listeners will help us put the money together to go. You know, I know he said $10. You know, it'd probably $10, you'd probably need 1,000 people to give 10 bucks to make it happen. That's all it would take. Or if you said $100, what would it take, 100 people to make it happen?
Yeah.
Somewhere in between that, you know, I'm kind of envisioning. But maybe we could do this and broadcast live from there. And, you know, we've got to start to reach out and work with people. The clarion call for civility has got to be more than just let's get along and be kind. It means let's work together for solutions, right? As we promote God, family, and country. Thank you, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.